All right, we're going to do a teaching this morning. Call it the way you want it. I keep having this song go over in my mind. Somebody had posted it, and I can't even remember what the meme was or the video was, but it was like, I can't even say it, the words really. Oh well, doesn't matter. Reminds me of this. Okay, Genesis 1. Any way you want it, you got it. It's kind of the song I'm thinking about. Any way that you want, you got it. That's kind of what the Lord's given to us, hasn't he?
That's a Roy Orbison song.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what's been going over in my mind. All right, this is Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle of all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Yesterday, while I was preparing this, I never usually go out, you know, well, I used to. When it gets warm, I usually go out in my backyard. But yesterday, I just had it go out in the backyard, you know, before I really sit down to do this. And there's a rabbit out there, and he's up on the tank trying to eat my dusty miller. He'd already tunneled underneath trying to get the roots. And he was so bold, I yelled at him. He jumped out, and I turned my back. He jumped back in. I mean, it was like, what happened to these little scared rabbits around here? He wasn't scared at all. And I was telling Danny, and he said, yeah, you need to shoot him with that BB gun. You won't hurt him, but you keep him from coming back. And the Lord said, what about your dominion? What about your dominion? Right here. They have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Visibly, who does it look like owns it all? The devil. Who's the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy? He has it illegally. I like what President Trump says. Just because they stole the Tiffany diamonds, that means they still have to give them back. Even though they got around the block and they maybe fled to another place, when they get caught, they still have to give back the diamonds because they don't belong to them. They belong to us. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. All right. Let's look now to chapter 2, starting with verse 8 there. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. These are all the gold mines. These are all the mining projects that are going on all across this world. And the gold of that land is good. There is Bedlam and the onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Sedekel, that is, which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Dress it and keep it. He gave us responsibility over this earth. So what's the problem? We got a loose renegade spirit we got to get a hold of and get him out of our garden. Just like that rabbit in my backyard. I saw a squirrel this morning. I'm thinking, oh no, you don't, Buster. He jumped in our oak tree, and that's okay. There's acorns. He can have all those he wants, but I'm telling you, That's where it starts. It starts in your backyard or your front yard or wherever. Running out them varmints. If you got varmints, it's your fault because you haven't run them out. All right. God has given you the say in all the affairs of your life. Not in someone else's life, unless he gives you certain things to say. But for you, it is time that you take care of business. If you don't, no one else will. You're sitting there waiting for God to do something. Well, you can forget about that. He done it. That's not good English, I know. But he already did it. We can see here that God did his part, and now it is up to you to do your part. If you don't know what to do, then ask God for wisdom. James 1:5. Since you have been able to speak, you've been saying and saying and saying. How do you like what you've been saying? Either good or bad, right? Maybe a little of both. Yeah. God has placed in us the ability to have whatever we say. Our problem is that we naturally rattle off all the time things we do not want. Everywhere we go, people are just negative for the most part. Very seldom do you come across somebody that's optimistic and positive about things. Well, we must reverse that curse. If we want blessing, we have to speak blessing. People get angry at God, but it isn't God that is the problem. It's the God of this world that's the problem. God even placed a marker before the children of Israel as a reminder of this. This is Deuteronomy chapter 11, if you've never read it. Started with verse 26 there. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day and go after other gods which you have not known. It shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee unto the land, whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim, and the curse upon Mount Ebal. It was a constant reminder, blessing or curse, do the right thing, don't do the bad thing. It was mountains shouting in their face. Are they not on the other side of Jordan by the way where the sun goeth down? Because what happened? They tried to go in. What happened? 2 had the good report. 10 had the bad report. Caused all Israel to boo-hoo in their tents because they believed the bad report. Are they not on the other side of Jordan by the way where the sun goeth down in the land of the Canaanites? Which dwell in the campaign over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Moriah. For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein, and ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. All right. Living in the blessing or in the curse is basically what we decide and what we decree. We're going to look at a few scriptures on that. First one's Proverbs chapter 4. It says, my son, attend to my words, verse 20. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So this is a place of standing and moving forward and not letting circumstances cause you to put that mouth to work to curse you. It's not popular, is it? But it's the truth. See, the whole world's forgotten about that. They think all these things kill me, kill me, kill me, kill me. All the food I eat, oh my God, everywhere I go. All these means and methods to try to make that right, and they're speaking that fear out of their mouth 24/7. And they don't even get it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof, for life or for death. So, Lord, it's so simple. But they've fallen all over it. All right, Galatians 3, we've been redeemed from the curse. That means we can do it. Christ hath redeemed us, Galatians 3:13, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. You can't walk both ways. You have to make a decision. Either you're going to walk in the curse or the blessing. How do we operate under the curse? By the works of the flesh. That's what Galatians kind of says. We're going to look at it just a little bit here. Galatians chapter 5. All right, Galatians, he is hiding from me. There it is. We'll just start with one there. Well, no, we're going to start with 4:22, then we'll go into 5. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he was of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which generated to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and in bondage with her children. See, the nation of Israel, they still don't get it, that their Messiah came 2,000 years ago. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren, and that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate have many more children. In other words, the works of the flesh produce many more children than those that have walked by faith, produce children by faith. In other words, you know, like Abraham. For we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. God's anti-Semitic. He cast them out, not us. In fact, the church has been sold a bill of goods about, oh, you don't touch Israel. Most people in the church don't know that the real Israel is the body of Christ, Jew and Gentile. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's what it's all about. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. This is just works. What was the old covenant? It was just works. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. For if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. The same old fight between the Christian and the Jew is going on here that we still see today. Oh, we're God's chosen people. Well, they hadn't read Ephesians. And you can see if they're Jews why they haven't. Then I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That's why there's many more children of Hagar than there is of Sarah. I'd rather have one by Sarah than a whole house full from Hagar, wouldn't you? But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care what others tell you. If you're messing with that kind of stuff, you ain't getting there. It isn't going to happen. Well, God, he's the father of us all. Oh, no, he isn't. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, people stumble all over it. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, in one another. Don't argue with anybody. Just tell them the truth whenever you can. We have an enemy of the soul right here. The enemy of our soul knows this, and he is trying to goad you into saying what you don't want. He's trying to get you in the flesh. He can't speak by faith and get anything, but if you speak the curse instead of the blessing, he has successfully stolen your goods. That's how he steals from you. All right, this is James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's operating in the Spirit and not giving way to the flesh. The devil knows where to goad you, doesn't he? Once words are said, they cannot be retrieved. If it's true, if the ether is containing everything that anyone has ever said, that's a scary thought, isn't it? I said, Lord, I would like you to erase my words, please. Maybe the ones that the blood bought and have repented of those things, he erased those. Hope so. Is it God's fault that we get angry and begin to speak? No. He has given us everything we need to succeed. We do these things because we begin to operate out of fear instead of faith. That's where the devil comes in. He comes to bring fear, to negate your faith. Reaction instead of action. Now I want to read something to you from Brother Hagin's March 27 Faith Food. It speaks volumes. I guess it fell out. Anyway. I'm in May, no wonder. The title of it is Whom Resist? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. That's 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. In 1942, I had a battle of symptoms in my body. I prayed, appropriated the promises of God, and stood my ground, but at times it looked like I wasn't going to make it. Do you ever feel that way? One such night, I had a dream. I dreamed another man and I were on some kind of a parade ground. It was like a football field. There were stands on either side. As we walked along talking, suddenly the man looked back and yelled, "Look!" and he started running. I turned and saw that two ferocious lions were almost upon me. I ran about two steps and I hollered to the other man, "You'll never make it. You can't outrun them." I stopped still, turned around and faced them, and I was trembling. My flesh was covered with goose pimples. But I said, "I stand against you. I refuse to budge in the name of Jesus Christ." The lion stopped, came right up to me, sniffed around my feet, and just trotted off. I awoke, and 1 Peter 5:8 came to my mind. I knew my physical battle was won. I received healing immediately, and I had almost run, but I stood my ground. I had used my authority. There we are. All of us. That's where we are. When I saw this, it brought me great comfort. I said, "You're right, Lord. How many things are we ducking out of and doing everything we can to get around them so we don't have to face them today?" I said, I faced them head on, saying, "I ain't afraid of you. You've got your own list. I don't need to hear what they are, because I had mine." All right, James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Let's look at Peter, where he quoted. This is 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's your stand. You're humbling yourself under his mighty hand. When you run, that's pride. I do it myself. How's that working out for you? It ain't working, I can tell you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Kind of like David and Goliath. Exactly like David and Goliath. When everyone else is running for the foxhole, when the giant came out, David ran towards the giant. He said, I'm going to take your head off today. Ephesians. This is a stand, guys. That means you don't run. I'm just going to read 12 through 14 there. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is 6, verse 12. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. It's a stand. The Holy Spirit has been talking to all of us for the last few weeks concerning this issue. I can say that I've changed in the last few weeks just from these teachings. All right, hear me out on this. Daniel got mad at Mr. Miyagi because he did not understand that through all the process of washing cars, waxing cars, sanding the floor, painting the fence, painting the house, that Mr. Miyagi was teaching him karate. He thought he was just being used and abused. Nothing ever going to happen. You just sold me down the river. He got mad at him. He even used bad language. Even though he had made a pact with Mr. Miyagi that he would not question his teaching methods. I've told the Lord that myself. Lord, I will not question your teaching methods. I may not like them, but I know that you only have my best interest at heart, and you're trying to make me better, not bitter. Even in the new Karate Kid, the young man kept throwing the jacket on the floor and picking it up over and over and putting it back on the coat rack. You remember that? What was he learning? Discipline. He was learning technique also. Daniel made an agreement with Mr. Miyagi that he would not question his teacher's methods of training. Boy, when he thought he was being used and abused, he forgot all about that agreement. Ever get mad at God? Does it ever get you anywhere? Well, get you down on the floor repenting because of what you did and how ugly you acted. Where you are today is because of what you consented to. I've told the Lord myself that I trusted him. I would not complain about his method. Those things that he has allowed in my life is what's made me who I am today. And it's what's made you who you are today. What he's allowed you to go through. It made Daniel's son a champion karate. A newbie. Those things that he has allowed in your life is to get you to no longer run from the giants in your life, but to confront them. You have consented to learn. You have consented to this. You told the Lord, I want you to train me and I want to do whatever you call me to do. So you signed an agreement saying, I'm going to trust you to train me. Haven't you? Then why are you getting mad at God? Having your fits and rages and all these things. After Daniel lashed out at Mr. Miyagi, he soon saw just how much he had really learned in doing all these things that didn't seem to have any connection. See, the Lord has handpicked, I was teaching this on the program this morning, about God. If you believe you have a call on your life, then ask God, okay, what do I do? The last place I'd go is to another preacher. And they may be noble and try to help. But I said, you go to God. He has your training program all set up and waiting for you. All right. Now you can understand why the church, for the most part, are wimps. They must go to the world system to get their help because they want it now, and they will not go through the training process to be a warrior. What does a warrior do to stand? Well, you can call me Sergeant Carla today if you want to, because I'm here to make you a warrior. Have you ever seen how sergeants act to the men they are training? Think about Sergeant Carter, old Gomer Pyle. Yeah. They are tough on them because they know they're going to be responsible for keeping that soldier alive on the battlefield. Okay, right. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I was thinking this morning while I was praying before the service, thinking about the many little pastors and leaders that we had over the years that were just didn't have much and didn't, you know, just didn't, weren't respected by anybody, treated so ugly and so just. We'd go about doing our little socials and never thought about asking the pastor and his wife. You know, those kind of things. I just thought about those things this morning as I was praying, how we don't esteem his offices. None of us have. I mean, now that I know more about him, I'm going to do my very best to honor whom honor is due. But I got to thinking about that. The Lord showed me a secret, and I can't disclose it at this time, but it made me laugh. I said, Lord, you crack me up. I can remember the days where you just went and had socials, and all you did was trash the pastor. Been to many of them. I'm not lashing out at anybody here. I'm just saying. I just reflected back on all the many years we've been in church and what some of these little pastors must have gone through just, you know, with who they had. And what little I've dealt with, especially those people in the gym, I'm thinking, boy, I feel sorry for the pastor that had to pastor them. You know? It's a tough job. Not all are big mega churches that are adored and have all their staff and all their stuff. Most are just little places and just struggling to just keep their head above water. All right, for all that, whatever that's worth. Okay. We have seen so many go by the wayside. A lot of them are no longer among us. Talking people that did not want to hear the instruction of the Lord. They just couldn't submit to God's training. If anything, what the corporation has done to the church, instead of learning to be a disciple and following the Spirit, it's just become an entertainment. They go to church based on, well, is there a program for my kids? What's wrong with the kids learning with the adults? I don't know if you saw it, you probably did. The symbol of Nickelodeon is actually Epstein Island. Nickelodeon. The one that most Christians trusted for their kids to watch. No, they're all pedophiles. I'm sorry. They're all after the kids. Because they're all part of the corporation, the beast system. All right, did God want them to go home early? No, he had a plan for them. He had a perfect plan for them. But if you can't make a person submit to the training, I'm so thankful that I finally did 10 years ago, finally got what God was trying to tell me, because I was going to the system thinking that's the way I had to do it, because that's the way we learned it in the church. You get committed and submitted and you come up through the ranks. That isn't God's way. Go look for yourself. Think about the ones God pulled aside to train. Paul, Moses, Joshua trained under Moses. I mean, Joseph. No, God has a way. He has a plan. He has the training process all laid out for us as individuals if we will submit to it. How do you become a first-class soldier if you never submit to the commander-in-chief? No, when I see someone making a mistake and it's like they're going in error, I do my best to get them back on track. God wants us to handle our circumstances that we do not like, just like He handled His circumstances that He didn't like. How do you think He felt when He saw the earth and the condition that it was that He made? But He didn't fret. Let's go there. Genesis 1. The Lord is training us to the point that we don't speak non-working words anymore. No matter what we see, that's where He's getting us to, whether you see it or not. Because I'll just stop there. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. People say, well, there's not another. It's only 6,000 years old. And through carbon testing, there is nothing was before that. I agree, disagree, 150%. Because it says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then the earth was without form. What the heck happened? It says it was without form. God is a God of order. What happens when the devil gets into stuff? He tears everything up. He's got men thinking they're women. Men thinking they can breastfeed babies and have periods. They're even putting tampon machines in the boys' locker room. There's a little guy, he went in there, student. He ripped that thing down, stomped it in the ground. How dare they put something like this in here? I'm not going to do it. That's what, to me, that's without form and void. No order, only chaos, complete and total chaos. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. There's the ultimate goal of the deep state. They killed everybody. Killed everybody. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. How about that? And God saw the light and He said, it's good. See, we don't have to be down in the mouth over every little thing. We can say what we want and say, oh, it's good. It's good. That's what God has made us to do, to speak good. All right, everyone is waiting for something, but how you wait is what is important. How you wait is important. You may have a plan, and God may have given you a plan. You were talking about God's given you a plan. There's a key ingredient when you got God's plan. His plan doesn't happen like this. He will give you the first step, and you will wait on that first step before you do anything. What does human nature do? Oh, God give me a plan. And what happens? You make a mess. I know because I've done it. Thinking one thing and acting on it, nothing happening, thinking, I don't understand. Why? Because God has a plan and we wait on it. We hear the plan. Okay, Lord, what's the first step? If you go and look at Moses, you go look at Joshua, you go look all through the Old Testament before they went out to battle, his leaders, what would they do? They'd get the plan from the Lord. David inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. If you inquire of the Lord, you're not going to miss it. But God doesn't do leaps and bounds. He just does a step. And you might be on that step for 10 years. It's understanding God and how He operates. What disappoints us is because we think the world's way, He thinks His way. And when those meet, then we got a good thing going here. But if it doesn't meet, we got disaster. That's why the church has gone to the world for its answers on everything. Because they can't wait long enough to hear from God. All right, Romans 4. I wish I'd had somebody like me when I needed it back all those years ago, or I wouldn't have gone through so much pain. It was just not understanding. Romans 4:16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure unto all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. He only had one son. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, or neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And that's not just for him. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. This is what the Holy Spirit said to me. When you make your decree, that is your stand. It is not based on physical evidence, but on spiritual law. I touched on this earlier. Once the command is released, you are to stand firmly in your place. Spiritual law has been put in place, and it starts in the spirit realm that you cannot see. It is working on the inside, and evidently it will manifest in the natural world, kind of like Abraham waiting on a baby and Sarah, dead womb. Brother Hagin did not run from the lions. That's the symptoms. He said he was having an attack against his body. Contrary to physical evidence, he stood his ground and the devil lost his ground, just like David and Goliath. You know how we act. Remember Daniel. He prayed and there was a 3-week delay. The angel told him he had to get help to get there. I don't need to read it. I've read it many times to you. He was waylaid by a demonic entity, and it stopped him, and another angel had to come and help him to get the answer to Daniel. Last summer, or last year, whenever I poked my eye, I prayed about it, and I had some fear come against me, and the Lord said, "You made your decree, so stand. It'll come." In exactly 3 weeks, it'll clear it up. See, it's like the devil comes to steal, kill, destroy. He's come to steal. But you as a heavy armed warrior cannot allow him to do so. All right, it's easy to be fooled after you've decreed, because all you naturally see is the symptoms or the problem. Why is that? You set a spiritual law in motion that has to have time to be carried out, and your part is to stand firm until it does. It's on the way. He told Daniel, from the first day you prayed, I heard, and the angel started towards the answer. to whatever you needed. But a demonic entity came and tried to stop it. That's why you cannot let go of what you've decreed and what you have said, no matter what. All right. Let me read this over again. It's easy to be fooled after you've decreed because all you naturally see is the symptoms of the problem. You set a spiritual law in motion that has to have time to be carried out, and your part is to stand firm and not have a meltdown. Don't get angry. Give thanks to God that the answer is on the way. Always remember that help is on the way because you prayed for it. It won't fail you if you keep your place. If you're not moved. What does the devil come to do? To steal the word, right? All right, Isaiah 55. It's like the Lord told you, if you stop reacting, it would be over. Well, see, there it is. That's it in a nutshell right there. We're either going to act or react. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Verse 1. Come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. How do you do that? God's kingdom is different than this natural kingdom. We're fixing to see this manifested. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. The Lord wants us to learn to walk in the Spirit. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not there shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and your thoughts and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it giveth seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that it shall not be cut off. This is the millennial kingdom right here he's talking about, and how we're going to operate. This is the way he wants us to operate, like they operated in the beginning, before the fall. How are we going to call for the nations if we can't even tend our own garden? You have to be able to take care of the little foxes pulling your vines before God can trust you to take on what is beyond. That's what the training's all about. Like it or not, that's the truth. All right, that's enough for today.